Please stand if you are able for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. From the Gospel according to John chapter 6, verse 35, and then verses 41 through 51, this is the word of the Lord. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. I don't have any salt with me, Terry, but you want to have a bite? Gee. Some finger food? You want? Do you pass? Dot? I've got one more ear left. You want that? I mean, the idea of you taking a bite out of my flesh is probably pretty gross to most of you. If you don't have a problem with it, you need to talk to me after church, okay? But cannibalism, it's what Jesus was suggesting here. I am the bread from heaven. It is my flesh which I give for the life of the world. Eat me. Consume my flesh. That is a radical idea back in that day. Now, in this day and age, we think about all the movies and TV series and stuff about what? Yeah, zombies. You know, anybody watch zombie stuff? Okay, there's a few of us sickos, sure. It's humorous, entertaining somewhat, gory, crazy. And yet Jesus was saying that, telling them, all these people who knew him, they knew him from growing up, that he was the bread from heaven, the bread that would give life. All they had to do was eat his flesh. Really radical idea. And they're saying, we know his mom and dad. We know where he came from. We know who he is. And the Bible says that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And so they were grumbling. How dare he say this? And Jesus said, you're not getting the point. You're not understanding me. You're more concerned about where I came from, who I am, than you are about the words of life that I'm giving you. He's like we were telling the kids, the Great Commission. We are to go therefore into the whole world and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. John 14:15. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. We are to do what the Word of God tells us. Blind faith. True love. Obedience. Eat his flesh, drink his blood. Cannibalism. And yet, do we as Christians practice cannibalism? Do we practice cannibalism? Yes, we do. Every communion Sunday. Every communion Sunday. Jesus said on that night that he was with his disciples, he took the bread after he had blessed it. He broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and after he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples saying, "Take and drink you all of this. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." Now here in the United Methodist denomination, as in many Protestant denominations, we believe in consubstantiation, that the material doesn't actually change, but that the very presence of Jesus Christ himself is in and among those elements and in the ritual that we perform. Catholic Church, they believe in transubstantiation, that it actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. But isn't that my prayer every communion Sunday? Bless this, O Lord, this bread, that it would be for us the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We practice cannibalism. We understand that we need to get Jesus in us, that we need Jesus to survive, just as we need food to survive. But we don't always like to be obedient. We like to pick and choose what the Bible says to do. Old illustration. Been around a long time. There was a good church-going man who lived out in the country. Had a small house out there, a little farm that he worked. Faithful, he'd get up, he'd drive into town every week and go to church and come back home. One night he says his prayers, he goes to bed, and he wakes up in the middle of the night, and there's a bright light shining in his room, indeed throughout the whole house. And he sits up and he looks, and there is his Lord and his Savior. And he rolls out of bed, gets on his knees, and he bows down, and he praises the Lord. He says, "What can I do for you?" And the Lord says, "Out in your yard in front of the house, there is a huge boulder." The man says, "Yes, Lord. I know what you speak of. What would you have me do?" And the Lord said to him, "I want you to push against that boulder with all your strength every day." And he says, "Yes, Lord." Next morning he gets up, has his breakfast, gets dressed, cleaned up. He goes outside, walks over to the boulder, rolls up his sleeves, and he leans against that boulder and he pushes with all his might. Well, this boulder is almost as big as his house. It doesn't move one iota, not one bit at all. And he spends the whole day pushing against that boulder with all of his strength. The sun beating down. And he takes a break and he goes and has lunch. He comes back and he pushes at that boulder. He leans into it, pushes with everything he's got, with his arms, his back, his legs, pushes against that boulder all day long. And he does this day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. He'd been at it for a number of years. Satan comes to him one day and whispers in his ear, "You're wasting your time. That boulder has not gone anywhere. What a waste of time. You could be doing something else. Why struggle so hard? Why push so hard every day? Just take it easy. This boulder's not going nowhere no matter what you do." And the man struggled with those thoughts. Really struggled with it. Why was he doing this? He felt like a failure. So he went to God in prayer and he said, "Lord, I've been such a failure. I've all these years I've pressed against that boulder with all my might and I've wasted my time. Nothing's happened. That boulder hasn't moved one little bit. I'm a failure." And God appeared to him and said, "Are you really?" And he said, "All those years you've done what I've asked you to do and pressed against that boulder with all your might." He says, "And look at your back. Look at your arms, all the muscles and the sinew and the tendons. Look at your legs. They're like tree trunks, full of strength and power." God says, "I can use you to do mighty things because you have grown so physically powerful, because you have been so obedient to me." God says, "I never asked you to move the rock. I only asked you to push against it with all your might." like with the kids, you know, bringing the book up, take it back, bring the book up, take it back. Sometimes God asks us to do the difficult things. Forgive somebody who's really hurt us. To share with somebody when we're running out ourselves. To get involved when and spend time and energy doing outreach ministries and on committees that aren't fun or exciting, but they're boring. To do things that don't seem to make a whole lot of difference. Just because we're part of the body of Christ, because the Bible says to. I mean, there's got to be better, more exciting things to do. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 25. Tracy already read this to you. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. No more lying. No more half-truths. No more innuendos. Speak truthfully to one another in love, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do Christians get angry? You bet we do. I mean, it says that right here, in your anger. We do get angry. We're wrestling with the flesh. Jesus himself got angry. The money changers, those who sold doves and that. But in your anger, do not sin. Choose to do the right thing. Choose to do what the Word of God says. Choose love. Do not sin. And it says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. I'm going to tell you what, I am the pastor of this flock. You are my sheep. I love you dearly. And as your leader, I want to tell you that Bonnie's here, so she would know I wasn't. There have been days I've let the sun go down in my anger. Yes. I've done that, been there. But if we continue to let the anger fester in our lives, it becomes like a cancer. It wears us down. And pretty soon we're making mountains out of molehills. That's what happens. We then start to carry out and get mad about other things when that's really not what we're angry about. That's called transference. Because when we let anger fester, it just takes over our lives. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Get over it. Choose love. Turn the other cheek. Is it easy? No. Is it what God said to do? Yes. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. We're not just talking about putting your money into the cash register and taking money out that don't belong to you. But we're talking about stealing other people of their joy, putting them down, being mean to people. We're talking about ruining people's reputations. You can steal somebody's reputation from them, talking about them behind their backs, people in the news, government, sports, neighbors, coworkers, family. Yeah, we can steal in a whole lot of ways that don't require a gun. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit those who listen. What can you say to somebody to build them up, to make them feel better, to guide them in the right direction? That's what you say to them. Those are the things that we share with one another. Good things. Uplifting things. And there are people who are like that. Wendell. Wendell always has something good to say. Wendell is good to be around. Uplifting. We're to be like that for one another. Saying good things. Things that build up. Things that exhort one another. Pointing out the truth in love. It's not always easy, but it is what God called us to do. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't ignore this word. Don't turn your back on God. And get in verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, of evil, bad behavior. Get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness. Don't be bitter over things anymore. Get rid of the rage and anger. Take it under control. Self-control. Give it to the Lord. Cast all your cares upon him. Brawling and slander. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ Jesus you were forgiven. Is it easy to be a Christian? It is not. It's a lot easier to give in to our impulses, our flesh. But that's not what God said to do. God said to push against the rock. Yeah, but I forgive that person all the time and they just continue to be idiots. God says, I didn't ask you for results. I just asked you to push against the rock, to continue to forgive, to continue to love, to continue to say nice things, to continue to help people, to continue to share when you've got nothing. You don't want to give because you're afraid it's going to put you in the poorhouse. But I didn't ask for results. I'm asking you to be obedient. Share with that person that's in need. That's why I brought that person into your life in the first place. Help them out. I know you don't have a lot, but show me that you're obedient. Boy, God will bless your socks off. Maybe not today or tomorrow, but it'll happen. So push against the rock. Whatever that rock may be in your life. Whatever boring, mundane existence it is. Whatever pain it is. Even though you're not seeing results. You know that person that you've been praying for and praying for? Don't give up. Continue to push against that rock. And trust in God for the results. God loves you, and so do I.